Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I love having a full house, just like we do this afternoon. I'm very happy to introduce you to several individuals and business leaders in our community, beginning with our Chick Tech team, Mary Ramirez and Leah Wood. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So Chick Tech organization is new to me, and likely, I'm assuming for at least some of our listeners, Chick Tech is a nonprofit dedicated to retaining women in the technology workforce and increasing the number of women and girls pursuing technology-based careers. Kind of speaks for itself with the words Chick Tech. Good. So I will have a chance to talk to you in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to introduce our other two guests. We have Kenny Weiss, coach, speaker, an author who is at the forefront of the personal development field, one of my most favorite coveted topics. Welcome, Kenny.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Kelly Griffin, Action Coach, Business Development Manager. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about our conversation today. I never know where it takes us, but my whole goal is always to have more people learn about the great work you're doing. I know Kenny just wrote a book, and we've got a lot of great activities planned for the Chick Tech and the girls in our community and women in technology. So let's start with you two. Tell us a little bit more beyond just the brief sentence I shared. How did Chick Tech get started? Is it only in Phoenix? Go.
Yeah, that's a great question. Chick Tech is actually national, so Mary and I are part of the new Phoenix chapter that just actually got started here a couple weeks ago. We're very excited about it. It's definitely something that Mary and I are both passionate about and are hoping that this actually reaches other women who are passionate about getting women involved in technology as well. Mary, feel free.
For sure. So yeah. Chick Tech is actually, like she said, nationwide. We have 20 chapters across the country. And we just started our Phoenix chapter. And pretty much what Chick Tech does is that we attack the issue of women in tech in two ways. One, by retention, so providing women the events, the workshops, the information, the education that they need in order to stay in this field, whatever it is that they're doing in technology. And then by providing that same type of information, but for young girls in high school or, you know, even K-12. And that's something pretty awesome that we do. And it makes us a little bit different, but I think especially in Phoenix, that's the issue we're all trying to address and attack.
Well, I think the earlier that you start gearing girls towards a degree or a career in technology, the more they're going to stay with it, right? So if we're only catching them when they're already graduated or going into college, we probably have missed a great way to influence and guide.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons that I didn't start in it or why it wasn't something that I thought about majoring in college. I didn't think that that was an actual thing I could do. I was always taught that you're either going to get married and be a mom or you're going to do something that women do, like they write or
they're teachers.
Mom's an accountant or they're a teacher or something. Yeah, very, you know, loving and nurturing, so to speak. But I was always fascinated by the technology industry. It is amazing how revolutionized we've all become as a result of it, for better and worse. But, you know, making sure that we're actually having young voices be a part of it is, like you mentioned, we're really where we're going to actually thrive and get women more involved in not just technology, but science and mathematics and engineering. Yes. And anything STEM related in general.
I'm thinking back to a post that I saw that Mary put on this morning on LinkedIn, and it was a STEM activity that you were doing with grade school kids.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm on the board for Treasures for Teachers here locally. And I'm like, hey, ladies, you got to check this out. Because at the Treasures for Teachers, without getting on a, you know, tangent with this, but they put together STEM projects. Yeah. So that it's easy for teachers, because not everybody teaching, whether it's high school level and or high school and middle school, are prepared to really talk tech with these kids. So thank goodness for you guys.
Yes, of course. So just a little bit of background. I actually work at the Levine School District, and we are what's called a one-to-one school. So all of our 8 schools in the district, each student has their own device and they use the device daily. All the curriculum is online. And a little bit of what I do is I go into the classrooms and work with the teachers. And they're, you know, for example, hey, you know, our kids are working on sentence structure? How can we make this just a little bit more fun so that we just explore, you know, what we have available, whether it's like different apps or different kits that we have. And then I just work with the teachers and get that done, deliver that to the classroom. And then the funny thing is that the kids don't even know they're learning. They're like, oh my God, we're on the iPad. This is so much fun. But they're actually like, you know, either learning math or science or even engineering, coding. And we start this really early, especially at the Levine School District. We start at kindergarten. And I say by second, third grade, the kids know how to code. So don't underestimate them.
Well, they know it better than we do. Of course. At least with my generation, I've got a 10-year-old and I'm amazed. You know, he'll like, give me that phone, he'll say to me. And pretty soon he's zip, zip, zip. And I'm like, how did you do that? They just know, right? They're growing up with a technology. And I think to the whole point of Chick Tech, technology has traditionally been a male-dominated field. Right. And so for Chick Tech to be out there helping to influence and enhance technology careers and experiences for women and girls is phenomenal. I'm curious, you both mentioned that you're in the tech field, but how did you get into tech yourselves? I mean, you alluded to, you know, there were other careers picked out for you, but
yeah.
What do you remember that moment you went, ah?
Actually, I do. It was a terrifying moment, but I majored in political science in college. I was going to be a lawyer until I started dating one and then was like, oh, I can't do this. So I needed to figure out something else. But it was, unfortunately for me, I was graduating college right at the time the crash happened. And so no one was hiring anywhere. Everyone was broke. And the only place that was actually going to give me a job that paid me anything and wasn't like an internship, or we'll pay you after, you know, you've been here for a year, was the insurance industry. And so I sold property and casualty insurance for 6 years. And it was becoming to the point where, which is already a male-dominated industry in and of itself.
So insurances. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Property and casualty. Health benefits.
Particularly.
Is,
okay.
Yeah. Health benefits, it's more female-oriented. But again, that's more of the nurturing kind. Property and casualty is something that everyone needs, but nobody wants to pay for. So it was kind of an uphill battle during the 6 years I was in it. And I was getting to the point where I knew I didn't want to do it. And I had been in it long enough. It was either jump in with both feet or figure out something else. And my husband at the time was like, well, get out now. This isn't a time that we can afford it. And so if you need to quit, quit, and we'll figure out something else. And so the company I work for now, I actually wrote their property and casualty insurance. And so I had to drop the bomb. Hey, guys, I appreciate your loyalty, but I'm moving on to different endeavors. And we're like, well, wait, where are you going? I was like, well, I don't know.
But I don't know.
I don't know yet. And so they asked if I would be interested in a sales assistant position. And I was like, I know nothing about technology. I've used a single software that probably was built in 1970 and has never been updated since. And they were like, oh, we can teach you all that kind of stuff. And so it was just my work ethic that made them interested in wanting to hire me in the first place. And so the first 6 months really, truly felt like drinking from a fire hose, understanding anything software related. I didn't even know what a server was or what software really meant at the time. And now it's become my entire life. And I love how much it has made me change my mindset and how I get work done, how I organize things, and how you truly can empower your employees to kind of take charge of their day, essentially, and make sure that they're always thinking about creative ways to manage their time and be better at what they're doing and better their process and learn as much as you possibly can. And one of the exciting things now is that even though I'm still part of the sales team, I will be taking my certification tests that I would be able to actually administer the actual software that I'm selling. Oh, so wow. It's really amazing. Yeah, it's been an amazing opportunity. And I can't speak highly enough to how now I truly feel like I am on a path to something that I will and can and want to do for the rest of my
career.
And
destined to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's pretty
We're
amazing.
We're really glad you didn't stay in the legal field.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Did you marry the attorney?
I didn't. I didn't. No, the attorney and I did not work out.
That gets into my field.
Yeah. We'll come back to Kenny. Yeah,
we can talk about that later.
I did that on purpose for you, Kenny. That was a good segue.
I know. I said that. I just didn't want to interrupt you.
Perfect. Mary, how do you remember your light bulb moment with technology?
Well, I started my journey in technology back in 2011 when I enlisted into the United States Army.
That's right.
So the recruiter had a few jobs available and he was really gearing me to be a truck driver, but I didn't even have my license. So I was like, nah. So I ended up taking a job as a signal system specialist and I was able to learn a few things about technology and travel. But in 2015, my husband and I were like, we don't want to do this full time. So we came to Arizona because his family's from here. And then I had my daughter shortly after. And while I was in the Army, I actually got a degree, a bachelor's in legal studies, because I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, that's funny.
And then in the midst of me transitioning, I was like, dude, I don't want to be a lawyer.
No harm done here for all of our attorneys listening.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, no. So then I was like, okay, I have all of this experience in technology. Let me try to get a job. So I ended up landing a job at the Levine School District. And I kind of had my first moment when I was sitting in a classroom and a teacher, I was just admiring how she was using technology and how the kids were soaking it up. And then they were like even going faster than she was even teaching the lesson. And I'm like, they're geniuses. Like, these kids got it. So that just truly like was just so heartwarming. And I was like, oh, I love the kids. And then I ended up just looking for nonprofits and looking for other people in Phoenix who were doing the same thing. So then I came across Chick Tech. I came across Girls Who Code and Tecnolochicas. And I just started joining the movement. And the good thing about Phoenix is that the tech scene is great. It's so incredible. Welcoming. Mm-hmm. It literally, they welcome you with open arms. If you meet anyone in the tech scene, they'll network, you know, help you out. And after that, I was like, you know what? This is where I belong. This is where I need to be, because I just never had that feeling in doing anything else.
Incredible. And you said it's only been a couple of months that it's been established.
Phoenix chapter.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. The Phoenix chapter. Right. Well, Mary, kudos to you for getting right out there and reaching out to me saying, hello, you need to know about us. And can we have an opportunity to tell our story? So thank you. Because anything we can do to get the word out is great. Tell us about these monthly community fairs.
Yeah, sure. So there's quite a few that have been scheduled out. There's one on January 23rd that's going to be at Desk Hub in Scottsdale. And it's January 23rd.
That's the one we had yesterday.
Okay, yesterday.
Yep, that's all right.
Sorry.
You're fine. I just want to make sure it wasn't the February 23rd, but you do have one in February?
We do, on the 21st. That one's actually kind of exciting. So it's the GPEC, and it's a happy hour and panel discussion with some of local tech professionals that will actually be speaking at the ACT Women's Conference that we're having in April. So it would be a great opportunity to attend. There's Melissa Drake, Jenny Poon, and Gay Meyer that will be there.
Yay, Jenny Poon.
I know. Yeah, Cahoots. So excited. Yes. Cahoots is very, 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 got a very special place in our heart at ISOS Technology, the company I work at. Larry Cummings is part of their foundational board.
And wonderful.
So, yeah.
I don't know the other two women. I'm sure they're wonderful, and I look forward to looking them up and maybe getting them in here. But And Jenny has been a guest on our show with the NABO. Crew, and then YWCA and Athena have both spoken very highly of her, and I know they're both presenting her with awards very, very soon. So
exciting.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And then the ACT, what is that other thing?
So we're having these monthly community fairs leading up to our ACTW conference. So if you're unsure of what that is, I definitely recommend that you come to these monthly community fairs just to kind of get a taste to the big event. So pretty much ACTW stands for Advancing the Careers of Technical Women. And we have had these events in other cities, but we actually chose Phoenix to have the national event.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so it's pretty much going to be April 10th to the 13th over at the Phoenix Convention Center. And we have a huge lineup, 50 speakers, about 2,000 women in attendance. We have workshops, lightning talks, 42 breakout sessions. There's going to be breakfast, lunch, coffee available all day for free. So you don't have to worry about that. And for sure, just you're going to have the ability to network and connect with prominent people in the tech industry, you know, here in Phoenix and all around the country. I know if you're looking for something new to do, or if you just want to get connected, definitely come out, join us. And if you come to our community fairs, you actually will receive 10% off your ACTW conference ticket. And all this information is on our website. It's act/w.com. And we actually have early bird until January 31st. And then our tickets after that will be regular price. We even have a student price available that's a little bit cheaper. And if we have anyone that's listening that's maybe just hesitant about the price, I do want to encourage you to look for the Google Travel and Conference Grant. If you apply for this, they will cover all your fees to join the conference. So,
wow. And you're expecting how many participants approximately?
We're expecting about 2,000 women to attend. Yes.
And again, from all the different chapters and even just folks who haven't been affiliated with it yet all over the country are welcome to come and participate.
Men or women, it's not,
I was going to, that was going to be my next question.
Gender fluid.
Yes.
Most of our speakers are women. I mean, we have a few men, but it's going to be women heavy, but don't get discouraged. You know, we are happy to have men in alliance with us, supporting the cause and definitely helping us out. We want to partner with, local organizations in Phoenix, better to work together than to work against each other.
It's critical, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The few times that we've had women specific organizations, every single time women have always said, look, we're not meant to be exclusive. We just want to continue to move the pay scale and leadership forward on behalf of women, regardless of industries. And we know that we can't do it without men.
Right.
And I hear you saying the same thing.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Anything else you'd love to share with us about Chick Tech or the upcoming community fairs?
Yeah, just that if you're, kind of like we talked about before, we've got workshops and all kinds of stuff going on for this young girls and students throughout the year. So if anybody's interested in volunteering or wants to join Chick Tech and help us with administering these workshops, we really encourage everyone to go to chicktech.org and can check out the chapter. Reach out to me specifically. My email is leah.wood@chicktech.org. And I'm happy to put you in the right direction, sign you up for a workshop. We're really trying to utilize all resources that we have within the Phoenix community. And really, these workshops can be about anything. Like Mary talked about, there's coding. We've talked about helping students create something with a 3D printer, anything to do with science, technology, engineering, mathematics, anything along those lines.
For sure. If you're anyone in the community that knows anything about tech, I do please advise you to reach out to us because maybe you don't want to do this full time. Maybe you just want to come out, teach the high school girls maybe just how to code. And that just an hour of your time will greatly appreciate it. We want to get these girls exposed to as many people as possible because they are going to graduate soon. They're going to end up going, to ASU Grand Canyon. And we want to build those partnerships and networks so that they can maybe do an internship for your company or maybe go work for your company or maybe help you with, whatever it is you're doing. So definitely reach out to us. We are Twitter, Facebook. Our website is phoenix.chittech.org. And we're also on Meetup. So yeah.
Yeah, I know you guys are doing a great job letting people know.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
I'd just be curious, what are you finding is your biggest struggle?
Well, probably right now, volunteers, because we're literally a month in. So I would say volunteers right now. And we're kind of, the one thing is we're butting up against the school year. So obviously making sure that women who are already in the technology industry have the continuing education, have the resources to be able to continue to understand and learn new technologies. That's obviously something that we want to provide. But like we talked about, the real passion for most women is making sure that young girls are actually being exposed in a proper way, in a way that gets them excited. And so that's, we're talking about venues for these actual workshops, making sure that we have proper volunteers to teach any type of materials, resources, just anything right now. And again, that's because
donations
we're fairly
and
new.
Volunteers
donations. And, yeah. And that's, it's not something that we've touched on right now, but obviously donations for whether it's time, money, your knowledge, anything is something that we would be happy to take.
So help it, you
yeah,
the cause
help me advance the cause. Exactly.
Okay. And that's both at the individual level as well as the corporate level.
Correct.
And everybody, everything in between.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you can be man or woman. Yeah. You can have,
just bring me stuff.
You can have a background in CS or just be like us and not have a background in CS. We are not judging. We will take anything because at the end of the day, it's about the girls. It's about getting them
Absolutely.
The knowledge because if they never see it, they will most likely not pursue it. So we want to expose them to the different fields in tech because most people just think it's coding. Mm-hmm. We want to expose them to everything so that they can sit there and make that concrete decision like, hey, I think data science is for me because I've seen so-and-so and I really like that. So,
yeah, I know, obviously we connected in person at Galvanize and you were at HubSpot. Was that last night? Where were you?
We were at Desk Hub.
Or, sorry, Desk Hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were at Desk Hub and we ended up partnering with Thinkful.
Wonderful.
We had two or three recruiters on site yesterday looking over resumes and LinkedIn, giving us some, even me, some very harsh advice, and I definitely appreciate it if you're listening. But, come out, even if you're not wanting to pursue a tech career, you know, those are resources anybody can use because you never know when a rainy day is going to come by. So your resume always has to be prepared. So come out, get to know us, and, you know, we can use anybody.
Wonderful. Really excited about you guys. And as we're chatting, I'm thinking about all the connections that I have, not only through Business Radio X, but also being a longtime Valley resident. So we will definitely have to connect beyond Treasures for Teachers, although that's a great place to start. Yes. They are all about dabbling in donations and, you know, big and small. So excellent. Are you able to stick around as we have an opportunity to talk to?
Absolutely. Of course.
Wonderful. Hello, sir.
Hello.
So tell us, I know you have a book.
Yes.
It just recently came
out. Yeah, came out December 23rd.
So very recent.
A month today or...
Oh, I love this. All this fresh and new, exciting information. So can you tell us about the book?
Well, it's called Your Journey to Success. And we've all read success books, right? I mean, there's millions of them out there. And honestly, I haven't read a bad one. I mean, if you follow the advice that's in them, it's really stellar. But I noticed a gap. First of all, we've all had the experience of we want to go do something and we know logically what we need to do, right? We lay in bed and go, if I go do this, my wife won't yell at me or my kids or whatever it is, or business will get better. But we just don't feel like it.
And so sometimes frequently, we don't.
We don't. And I've never seen anyone touch that other than, oh, just go do it. Mm. Well, if that worked, why do we have 10 million success books? Doesn't work. That feeling, and here's what I learned in this process, is one of the gaps in the whole success model is it's all about thought. Well, did you hear the girls? They made their choices based on feelings. Every single choice we ever make is based on what we feel. But what do we say about feelings? Don't have them, don't talk about them, don't deal with them. We take absolutely not a single class from grade school through high school on any sort of emotional work. The most important skill we need to succeed in any area of our life, they chose their careers based on what they felt. They don't know why. I know how it'll work, so I know why they ended up there. But they just think it's random. Well, it's not. And did you hear how their life experience is exactly the same? Lawyers and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are, and that's the thing. We don't have this information, right? But it's tied into every single thing we do. And I hadn't seen anybody address that. And so I looked at it as, when you have the information in this book, then you can put into place all the incredible information that's already out there. Mm. This I found was kind of the missing piece. And so that's what I wanted to tackle. It's because even the people in this field, they try and find a different word for emotion. We don't like that word.
We all avoid it.
Yeah. And I was like, it's time somebody goes right at it. And I decided to do that.
Wow. I'm fascinated. And it really is an area. Personal growth and personal development is a place that I've played a long time.
Yeah.
And have spent more time looking at the emotional aspect of it, but I found it very hard to have those conversations with people because it brings up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been through trauma. Every single one of us. It's unavoidable. Most of us don't think so, but a simple example, because almost all my clients come in and go, no, childhood was great. And then we get, you know, in time, everyone says that too. Here's what's fascinating to me. I was watching a documentary. It was either Ted Bundy or Kaczynski, the Unabomber. And they were talking about how they had neighbors on talking about what a great childhood he had, even the narrator. And then they go in to talk about his mother was an alcoholic, dad was abusive, the denial and the covering over. And so most people would agree, okay, that's abusive. But here's a simple story from my childhood. I was hungry one day. I was reaching into the fridge to grab cottage cheese. And my mom goes, oh, no, that's for the dogs. Well, my mom would use cottage cheese to hide their pills, right? But what I heard as a kid was completely different.
The dog is more.
I'm less than a dog.
Yep.
So I've struggled eating all my life. Hmm. I've starved myself because I that's what happens in moments like that. We create what's called an adapted self. And so I adapted to, okay, well, if I don't eat, I don't get yelled at. Mom loves me. We create. So the reason everyone, I cite in here in the book, your career is a direct result of something you went through in your childhood. That's why you picked it. You're trying to resolve it. every single person is. And so we don't know that. We think we love it. But the question is, do the careers work for us or against us? I played pro hockey, pro golf. I built homes, custom furniture. I've had a lot of careers. All of them worked against me. This is the first one that works for me. But I thought I loved sports. I loved it. I mean, I used to dream about hockey after I quit until I did the work and realized how all of this works and realized, no, I was torturing myself and I didn't know it. And that's very common with athletes. This is shocking to most people. Very, very few athletes actually like playing sport. What they're trying to do is physically, because of how we store trauma and everything in our body, they're physically trying to get it out of themselves, but they don't know that.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. So there's, you know, the whole book is, that's why it's called Your Journey and how to accept the answers you discover along the way. Because this book is just different. It's a book, honestly, that'll take 10 to 15 years to process because of the way the brain works and the lack of education around it and what will have to happen, the shift in the brain and stuff. It's a journey and it takes time. But that's okay. I mean, that's the beauty
of it. We're here doing that anyway. I just would like to have a roadmap and a guide instead of flailing along.
That's the other thing is most of the books are primarily about the problem. While the problem is definitely laid out, it is heavy in solution. I lay out a roadmap and then I'm turning the book in. We'll start, I think it's in March. I'm going to turn the whole book into a curriculum of once a month, take each chapter and do a 2 to 3 hour seminar once a month and walk people through the deeper aspects, basically what I help my clients through. So because even with as much information and solutions as I put in the book, I could have the book 10 inches thick to really do it the way
I'm happy to see it sitting by you and knowing
it's 160 pages, but you know, even the reviews and everything, it came out the way I wanted.
Awesome. Kelly, I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you read the book yet?
Absolutely. I actually just finished it the other day.
Yeah. And?
It's fantastic. So yeah, I've been working with Kenny for over a year. So a lot of the information in the book are tools that I've already learned. But I think that the most important thing that it talks about is to actually go at these things. I was taught to avoid my feelings my whole life, and it was about to kill me. So, I mean, just in draining me in terms of my motivation, whether that was just simply going to the gym or, you know, the little things that we can't do every single day. And I didn't know that all these things I was doing in my life were going against me. So I think the book really gives you the tools in order to start changing your thinking into ways that actually work for you.
It's a self-awareness journey because I've read that in books. You need to be more self-aware. And that was the frustration I had with books. Or believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Well, do you know the process to that? No one's described it. Well, I did. And do you know self-awareness? No one's taught that. Yeah. Well, the book is really a self-awareness guide. Here's how you do it. Here's how you become aware of how you hide from yourself, of how you exercise, all these things.
You may have already said this and I apologize because I'm sometimes just listening and thinking, where else will we go in conversation? Sure. Are there then exercises throughout the book as well?
At the end of each chapter, there's what I call journey to success steps. And then the final chapter is just all the steps. And then there are more on my website. There are a couple of them. You go to the website for even more details. So it's, the end of the book basically turns into a workbook. But even that, I'm like, God, we started building the curriculum and the questions for one chapter I had, it was like 2 pages long, which in a workbook would be 10, 15, 20 pages because of the thought provoking of what the things it takes. I mean, I ended up figuring all this stuff out because I sat and thought and would go for walks and I learned how to tear myself down and figure why'd I do that. And plus I've always been fascinated by psychology. So I back it up with science too. You know, it's not just my opinion. I show how the brain and body work. For the junkies like myself, I give you reference books to go look at, but for someone who's not, it's real simple. I create a metaphor out of it, but it's not just opinion. Everything I talk about in here is based on the current science. And so it's backed by science too. Mm-hmm. So, but I try not to make it, you know, that boring.
Yeah.
It's not too sciencey. Yeah,
no. I from everyone I've heard that no one's complained about
it. So a nice combination between just practical and information in addition to get into action and then the science piece as well. If you I'd love that.
And if you're not in action, here's what to look for. Like here, I've heard this all my life. I'm afraid to fail. I used to say it for years. It is not possible ever. Nobody has ever been afraid to fail. It can't happen.
Okay.
What we're afraid of is success. Because think about it. How many times have you sat and known that if you went and did something, it would get better?
Hmm.
Right?
I think almost every time.
Yeah. Right?
Definitely.
And we don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, you've just chosen failure. You're not afraid of it. And that's the thing, how the brain and body works. Our brain seeks homeostasis. It never wants to change. So it keeps us repeating that failure because it's what
we
know.
Our brain and our body, Kenny?
Yes.
Yes.
Because what happens is every time you fire an emotion, there's a chemical reaction between your brain and body. Okay. And what happens is a chemical addiction happens within your body. Your cells, actually, you ever know a drama king or queen?
Sure.
Like you see it on dating profiles all the time. No drama. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's literally happening to the guy or the girl is they're sitting on the couch and the cells in their body send a signal to the brain going, hey, I'm bored. Let's stir something up. They grab for their phone and send off a bomb text to somebody.
Oh, man.
That's literally how, because they've created what's called a neural pathway.
Right.
All right. Think of it like sledding down a hill. You get to the top of the hill and you've gone down this hill so many times. It doesn't matter. You're sitting there going, I shouldn't do this. I should do this. I shouldn't, whatever. But you're stuck because the walls of that sled, you've dug in so many times. And so what I show you is one, how you created that sled down the hill. And then two, the process, once you get to the bottom of the hill, because there's a cycle to all of this that we go through, is you start walking back up that hill, laying on the couch, about to reach for the phone, how to interrupt that cycle so you can get to the top of the hill and go, okay, there's the old rut. Now I'm actually aware that I'm standing in front of this rut. But here's an option. Here's how I exercise that option so I can fire a new emotion, which will then create a new pathway down that hill. But we haven't been taught how to do that. So the reason we choose failure is we have absolutely no teaching on how to succeed. We don't have an emotional marker inside of us. So our brain and body seeks what it knows. So look at what happens when we do succeed. What do athletes, business people do the second they win a big contract or a game? They go get drunk, do drugs, sleep around. They destroy the success, emotional, chemical reaction in their brain and body and turn it into failure.
Interesting.
Because it's what we know.
Yeah.
We take ourselves out of success. So it is not possible that anyone has ever been afraid to fail. They're afraid to succeed because nobody knows what it feels like. And so that's what my book teaches you, is how to create that neural pathway and that new, basically, I call it, here's a great example. Do you remember in the best day of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was it?
It's very cliche, so don't make fun of me.
Just real short. It doesn't have to be
the
long.
The day I married my husband.
Okay. The two of you, was it kind of hesitant? Did anything else come up, or was it kind of, did you kind of struggle to find something?
The birth of my first kiddo.
Okay.
I struggled. I'm like, I don't know.
That's very normal. That's very normal. Okay. And when I do a presentation, about 1 out of 40 actually comes up with something. You see, most people are just blank.
Hmm.
Now, don't tell me. But now I want you to think about the worst day of your life.
Which one?
I was going to say.
Yeah. I'll ask that in a presentation. People start crying. And that's what we're stuck living because our brain and body knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the process. I talk about a 4-stage cycle in my book. And it's based on that best day, worst day. We have not been taught how to live in our best day. We don't know how to fire those chemicals. Mm-hmm. It's not taught in school. It's not taught anywhere. And it's reinforced because here's the other thing. What happens when we're the victim? When we get sick or hurt or we fail, what happens? We get power. Everybody comes to our rescue, right?
Oh, yeah. Like when my daughter's sick, she gets everything she wants.
Exactly.
So
interesting. Yeah.
And so that's why we all go back to that worst day, because since we've all been through trauma, it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
When trauma happens, we lose our authentic power, our authentic self. And I'm going to skip ahead to it's the third step, and I won't get into all the detail. But part of the cycle is we then literally choose every single person. It's not a personality type. It's everybody. It's universal. We choose to re-victimize ourselves because it gives us power. Almost every single, and this is science-based, almost every single illness, injury, and disease is a result of an emotion that has put you in a place to make a decision or have a reaction that creates a breakdown in the cells, which causes your illness and disease.
Wow.
All right. And so we do that because it gives us the power we lost. Even though it's working against us, it's making us sick and hurting all these negative things, but it's reinforcing that failure, that worst day, what I call the worst day cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck there. And so I'm trying to create a shift of here's how you get out of that.
Yeah. I'm curious, Kelly, you mentioned that you just finished the book, but you've also been a client of Kenny's for a while now. Would you be willing to share some of the changes that have been happening in your life as a result?
Absolutely. I think the changes that I've made over the last year could be a lifetime achievement award.
That's true. I just want to interject. The first appointment, when she walked in the door, she sat there and stared at me for 30 minutes, didn't say a single word. Said a couple words, and then left early. And I know when someone's like that, I'm not going to, she has to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the safest thing for someone like that is let them be right where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she was.
Mm-hmm.
And so to try and extract it out of her would have been me trying to feed my ego of, I want to fix her. Well, I can't do that.
We have a whole industry of coaches who are in fix-it mode right now. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I have absolutely no ability to fix anyone. I have a lot of knowledge and experience and wisdom from my own mistakes, and they choose what they want to take from it and whether they want to grow. So anyway, that's where she started. And look at this stunning woman. Yeah. You know, it's completely different. So
you go to the office, you sit there, you stare at him.
I actually don't even know if I remember that day, to be honest with you. But I think that the issues that were on the surface level of my life were really connected to something a lot deeper. And that's what we touched on. But I just didn't know. I didn't have the knowledge. I suffered from, needing people around to even do things, codependency, a failed relationship over and over again, but I didn't even realize I was picking the same person to fail with. Kenny's ability to point things out in my life that I just couldn't see myself because they were in my blind spot. And to know that doing this work at times, it can be tough and difficult, and I would get mad and,
There's a couple touches, I'm leaving.
But I think I asked you when you knew that I would, make it this far, and you said the day that I got mad and walked out.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I've had clients get mad, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
Because something's been evoked, right? Something's shifted?
Yeah, like I had one client come in, and she just jumped me. I was here last time and you were yawning and you weren't, asking me questions and you're rustling in your chair and then you had to cancel and I haven't seen you in a month. And she was irate. Well, the reason the woman came to see me, she had spent a life where as a child, she was never allowed to voice her opinion. And then she had a husband the same way. And then her husband who had died had moved in his mother and same thing. This woman had never been able to stand up for herself. And so the second she got angry, like I started to cry.
I bet.
And she's looking at me and I'm like, first of all, you're right. I apologize. I've been doing some work on the house that's exactly what happened. So one, I had to validate her. There was truth. I was tired, and she wasn't lying. So there was no reason for me to get defensive. But then I said, what you just did just changed your life and mine. Mm-hmm. And she kind of went white. And I said, think about what you just did. And see, that's what I try not to do is not tell them. And I let her sit with it. And she kept going. Finally, it hit her. Oh, my God, I stood up for myself. She came one or two more times. She didn't. That was the thing she needed to overcome. No one had allowed her to step into her life. She didn't know how to. And so my humanness, my imperfection, actually ended up being a blessing for her.
As it always is, if we know how to take a look at it and uncover maybe the gifts that's underneath that.
And so that's why when I heard her yelling at me, because see, anger in any form and at any time is always a mask for fear. And fear is another thing I've never seen anyone describe. Fear is always one of three things: the fear of rejection, the fear of inadequacy, or the fear of powerlessness. Well, let's look at her. Did she feel rejected?
Yes.
Did she feel inadequate? Yes, she doesn't have the tools, skills, and knowledge to get herself out of this, and that makes her powerless. Mm-hmm. So instead of hearing her words of what a bad coach or person I was, what I heard was a four-year-old screaming at me, "I feel so inadequate and powerless right now, and by God, don't you dare reject me." Her words didn't matter. The emotional content of her brokenness is what I heard. Now, if we knew, the two of you are married, if you knew that when your husband was angry at you, what he's really saying is, please, please don't see how afraid I am to show you how inadequate I feel, how powerless I feel. And if there's one thing, please don't reject me in this moment. Mm-hmm. Would you argue back about whether you did the laundry, whatever the issue is?
Right.
What you'd see is someone who's dying just to be heard in that moment. And so when you know that, in a business setting, think of that in business, how business deals get blown up because we don't have that information. Relationships get blown up. All the ways that permeate society. You know, so those are, you know, some key distinctions to know when it comes to anger. So when I heard her, I didn't hear an attack against me.
Yeah.
It wasn't about me.
I'm fascinated. I can't wait to get my hands on the book.
Thank you.
And I love that you've shared it's a journey. I do know that about my own life and just the trials and the successes and everything in between. It's all about evolution, right? Yeah. All about continuing to heal.
Sometimes I
thought I've healed a situation or a relationship, my mom being one of them. And every once in a while, like, oh, well, hello, here it is again, right? Maybe I shouldn't even ask a follow-up question, but is that common?
That has to do with denial.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Another book no one's ever written on in my book, you know, shows you no one really wants to touch that topic.
Denial.
Denial, suppression, repression, minimization. They do it in a clinical setting that's what we do, but they don't talk how it operates. And all, honestly, what's illness, injury and disease are is denial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a denial of an emotion, a denial of a situation, and it's being expressed. And since we don't know how to see ourselves, we don't know how to work through that. So part of what happens, all midlife crisis and things like that, is there's a natural degradation of the brain as we get older. The defense mechanism that allowed us to survive the trauma we went through as kids starts to degrade. And that's why all those feelings come up. So in general, what do men do? They go back to what worked in high school, sleep around and drive fast cars, because that was the coping skill they used back then. They don't have no one's taught them. It's not that they're bad or incapable. They just don't have the information. And so what happens is what you're describing is somewhere along the line, since your last aha moment, you started to see more of yourself. And that's what allowed you to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn to deal with ourselves, if we pursue it and have the tools to know how, that we can now see that truth, which it's blocked from us because we haven't been shown how to let that come to us.
Wonderful.
So denial is a very deep and intricate topic, and it's probably where the destructiveness in the society is now with politics and everything. It's how denial works. I cite some of that in the book too.
Excellent. Wow. Okay. Another question for Kelly. You are the with Action Coach and part of their business development team, or you're the business development manager. Was that a career choice prior to working with Kenny, or can you tell us a little? I'm just curious, like, you've shared a little bit about how much your life has changed. How about career-wise? How have things changed for you?
Yes, absolutely. I also used to be in the insurance world. We all have a lot in common.
Yeah. It wasn't done on purpose. Yeah.
It was new. And she's brilliant tech-wise, too.
Yeah.
I need to recruit her.
Yes. Exactly.
Three chick techs here.
It's funny how that it all comes together and just to sidestep from that for a second is nothing's ever random is another thing I've learned from working with Kenny. I look around me and where I live and everything. And it's like looking in a mirror now. But I was in denial and I couldn't even see myself or others. So it's a cool, I feel like I see the world in HD now after working with Kenny.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah.
That's a good, I have a write
4K.
That down.
Right. We're going to stick with the tech theme here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I work for Action Coach. It's a business coaching firm in Arizona here in Phoenix. And I work for Tom Dougherty. And he is very proficient in helping businesses flourish. He has great processes and tools and systematic approach to really see the pain points within businesses and help them not only increase their profits, but find out better, more proficient ways to run their business.
Hmm. Yeah, that's part of why I brought her is because Tom and the systems they use to help business. I work with a lot of businesses, but nothing like what he did. That's the what I call the business coach or executive coach is all process oriented. Like she said, how to increase sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And what he does, he's great at. And so business coaches and I, we're great power partners because I don't touch that. Because what I found is, same thing every business coach runs into, they get their clients so far and at some point they just don't want to do one of the suggestions, and that's feeling based. I can't do what he does and they can't do what I do, and so we're
it's a great match.
Perfect. Where we can bring to anybody, business owner, especially in business. Here's a great example of this, because people think what I do doesn't belong in business. You ever see the show The Prophet? What happens in The Prophet? Marcus Lemonis, great guy, brilliant businessman. He comes in to these failing businesses. And in the first 10 minutes, they work on the process, you know, move the machines around or, you know, change the delivery system. And the next 45 minutes of the show is dealing with the people and their emotions. And people don't think what I do can help a business. It's all the whole
it's
business.
Part of it.
And then they do the reunion show. And whether they failed or succeeded was all emotion-based, had nothing to do with the process that was brought in. So process is vital. You have to have it. But to me, the biggest gap in the business world is the stuff that I do. Because there's such a, you know, there's the thought that, well, I just leave my emotions out. Well, that's not how our brain works. Every single bit of information we ever take in, sight, touch, sound, hearing, everything comes through the backside of our brain, the emotional center of our brain. Everything gets processed emotionally before it ever gets to thought. You can't leave your emotions out of business. It's impossible. You're not made that way.
Yeah, even the decision to make that statement, I mean, it's based on an emotion, a feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. Because how do they say it?
Right.
You know, you watch the movie Sully? Mm-mm. You know, the guy who landed the plane?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Did you hear how he made his decision? To land there.
It's a
feeling.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all feeling.
Yeah.
It's every single choice we make is based on. Now here's the problem. Because none of us have been taught how this works. Most of us, you know, follow our gut. Well, I described the difference between what I call the trauma gut and our true gut reaction.
Absolutely.
Most of us, our gut reaction keeps us repeating the same thing. And we go, because it feels like what we know. It feels safe. But if you're stuck in any area of your life, if you keep repeating the same mistake, that's proof my book and the stuff I talk about will show you how to get out of it. Because you're stuck repeating that feeling.
You can go from worst day cycle to best day cycle, fire new chemicals.
Yeah.
Listen to that language.
I need to steal her away from Tom.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. Yeah. Interesting. And can that happen then, Kelly and Kenny, within just a couple of seconds or minutes? Or
firing the chemicals?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, think about it. What happened to you when I asked you about your best day? Did you feel the difference? when you thought about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I want to be back on the beach in Hawaii.
Okay. Now think about the worst time.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Done. Yep.
Right.
Now, what we've just never been taught is how to, there's a process to learn of how to fire that best day, what I call the best day chemical, and live in that. Most of us are stuck reliving that worst day all day long. We wake up every morning. Oh, how am I going to get through it? Mm-hmm. We're reliving over and over. And there's a way, there's a process to not have to live that way. I mean, my life was a disaster. You know, I've suffered tremendously. And here's something I learned. The reason we like reality TV is I can sit on my couch and my addiction, my terrible marriage, my bad job, and I can go,
that bad,
at least I ain't a train wreck like you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so when it, whether
or real quick, I can relate because again, I'm
that's
sympathizing with that pain or that. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I don't disagree. And so what I, whether I'm speaking or especially in the book, I use my life story to show how I did all of this to myself and how destructive I've been and how imperfect and broken I still am. And my hope is people in the audience go, well, I'm not as big of a train wreck as he was. If he can get through it, maybe I can. It's also permission because nobody wants the finger pointed at him. If this is a tough thing for me to bring up, because every time I bring it up, I feel like people are hearing me talk down to them. And so that's why I expose myself, because my hope is it creates permission. Because if I can accept how broken and imperfect I am, it gives them a roadmap. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. And then it's less judgmental and I'm better than you. Because I'm not. I'm a mess. And it's okay. The difference is, that would be the difference. I learned how to be okay with it. And we aren't taught how to be okay with it.
Right.
And so there, that's where the freedom is. That's ultimately how you live in your best day. I have a quote that I say, when you can learn to forgive yourself, they can't hurt you with it anymore.
Yeah, Kelly's nodding and smiling.
Think about that.
So your
husband, your friends, your parents, anyone yelling at you, when you've admitted, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
It just loses its power. Mm-hmm. But we're, no one's taught us how to do that. And so that's what I wanted to tackle.
So having been an educator for years, I still have a 10-year-old at home. I have two at ASU and a little guy at home. I would love for them to have this skill set. Mm-hmm. So as I take on the book and get acquainted with the work, my first thought is, okay, I'm going to go fix everybody, right? Which we've already established isn't helpful. Yeah. But any thoughts or any plans in the works for, how to bring this to a younger generation who may even embrace it easier.
Well, ultimately, I don't want to just be a local life coach in Phoenix. That's not what I'm after. I want to fundamentally change society. We have absolutely no teaching on emotions, parenting, or relationships in school. That's criminal. The three things that drive everything we do in our life, we have no information. No wonder we've all suffered trauma at the hands of our parents. They're not bad. Would you expect me to be able to perform open heart surgery on you right now?
Please don't.
But you wouldn't judge me for not knowing.
Right, right, right.
Right? But we judge the second I bring this topic up, people get defensive. Oh, I know what to do. How? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to shift, to make it okay to deal with this. And so, yes, that I haven't figured out is how do I get this message, get this the school system to shift like this? There's psychological implications. There's a lot to that. Sure. But that's one thing. And then, you know, so you asked, what's the plan? Well, part of the plan is starting February 8th, I'm doing a meetup group. It's from 8 to 10 a.m. every Thursday at Seattle's Best. We just posted it yesterday. Anyone can come. Talk about anything that's in the book, anything in your life, whatever. I just donate my time for 2 hours free. And it's called Coffee with Kenny. So just come out and have coffee with me for 2 hours, whoever wants to show up, and I'll help whoever I can and, you know, whatever topics they want to help it. The other thing, like you said, what I'm going to do is turn this book into a 12-month long curriculum.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm really excited about that.
So, and then really what it takes is exposure. Yeah. I feel really confident that this book is transformational. It's different. And it goes about things in the reviews and the feedback I've had confirms that. And but it just needs to get seen. Mm-hmm. And so I need any chance to speak, get the word out. Because once people read it, I start hearing people, I'm in the psych, it's starting to catch.
Well, even like Kelly's been nodding, and there's just this language that obviously we're not privy to, the other three of us, but there's a way to have a conversation about everything we're up against now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just right on the other side of it. And I think the hardest thing is that it's scary. It's scary to talk about these things and go towards them because you don't know what's on the other side. But on the other side is freedom and being vulnerable about what's going on.
And on the other side is success.
And my experience, and again, I just have, the things that I've learned through my studies and everything. I've always said, there's no going back. Do you feel that way, Kelly?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. Right? I mean, part of it is the acceptance and the acknowledgement that of our faults, or we're human or whatever that, right, is what I hear you saying. But that's the piece I love so much. I'm constantly evolving. And for me, this is a gift to sit here and learn and have some exposure to you, because this has got to be the next thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The bottom line is, we all have darkness in us.
Yep.
We all do. And nobody's taught us that right on the other side of that darkness is our light, mm-hmm. that we have to go through the darkness to get to the light. And no one's laid a path out for that. And that's what I tried to do in this book, is you have to go right at your darkness, become an expert in it. And that's when the sun rises. But we've been told the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Don't look at the past stuff. It doesn't work. It doesn't look. If it did work, why is our divorce rate over 50%?
Right. Yeah.
Why is, single motherhood, everything else climbing through the roof? What we're doing doesn't work. The avoidance that we teach and espouse doesn't work.
The denial, the avoidance.
Yeah, all the stuff. And so I want to have an impact on that. I want to create a conversation. I want to create permission.
Wonderful.
Safety. That it's and I watch the change in people's lives. They like themselves. That's a pretty damn good thing to do. If that's all you get out of life.
Yeah, that's big. That's huge.
That would be nice.
It would be more than nice. Yeah, it would be huge. I had this little vision as you were chatting, that as people read your book and participate in these, little workshops and studies to help get the word out, it was really just to give the gift as a book as a gift, right?
Sure.
And speaking engagements, we can refer you to companies and organizations and nonprofits and schools. And I mean, is there
Oprah? Get me on Oprah.
Once again, you heard it here first.
The point is you, well, as you know very well, it you can't be afraid of what you want.
I agree.
And I mean, she's a great springboard. So there are local TV stations. It's anything. It's, how it goes. It just builds on itself. It'll happen on its own. But
but you have to nurture it along. You can't, obviously, you can't stand behind and just expect it to happen. You got to show up, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Well, I appreciate you showing up today. Well,
thanks for having
me. Yes, I know you came on great recommendation by a couple people. And I said in the lobby, I know I've seen you, but maybe it's just those social media connections. Yes, love it. So if you could tell us how people can where can we find you?
Lots of places. My website, www.coachkennyweiss.com. And the last name is spelled Weiss. And then I have a YouTube channel just under Kenny Weiss. So there's like 100 different videos on business topics, relationship talk, but lots of stuff. So subscribe there and lots of free information there. Also chapter readings from the book are on there. The book is on Amazon, iTunes, Audible, everything. You can get it in paperback, Kindle, or Audible form. Because this book will stretch you so much, I recommend people, also it's how the brain works. Listen to it first and don't stop. Listen to it all the way through. Mm. just let your brain and body absorb the information, then get the book and work through the book.
Okay.
That would be, you know, if you hate Audible, fine, just read the book. But if you like Bowles, that would be the best way for your brain and body to process, because your brain is going to have to fire new chemicals and you have to break it down. And that doing it in those two formats that way will help your brain create new chemicals to be able to start to shift. Mm-hmm. So you can get it in all those formats. I'm on Instagram, Kenny Weiss Coach, and Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, the typical formats. But the name of the book again is Your Journey to Success, How to Accept the Answers You Discover Along the Way.
And which Seattle Best are we going to find you at?
I believe it's on Warner and the 101. It's like right down the street. You know, we tried to pick something that's kind of Tempe, Scottsdale, you know, that corridor. And I don't have the exact address in me.
No, that's all right. We'll find it. We'll put
it
up.
If you just go to Meetup and type in Coffee with Kenny.
Yeah.
It's all right there. The other thing to keep an eye out for is I'm going to do a big open house at my house, a book signing at the end of February. So keep an eye on the social media stuff. You can just come to my house. Yeah. And then we'll have, at that point, we will probably have the workbooks and the curriculum all set up for the 12-month long course that people to dig really deep into the book. And because while I would never tell anyone not to go to those weekend change your life events, mm-hmm. because you will leave with a better feeling, which is great, you can't change your life in a weekend.
Right.
It's a mm-hmm. process. And that's part of, I wanted something realistic of, here's a curriculum over 12 months to get you to shift. And that's another way I'm going about this that is different. Most try and get you to go in it. We want it quick and fast. And I'm like, it doesn't happen that way.
And you said it with the book. I love the way you positioned it too. The book could be a quick read, and it is also a lifetime journey.
It is.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. It's easy to read. You'll get through it quickly. But to absorb what's really being said and all the information and all that will take a long time.
Yeah. And it's a book that becomes a partner with you in life. Yeah. Kelly, Action Coach, it's the first time that I've heard of that group. And as you and Kenny both pointed out, it's, you know, business coaching, the systems and the process and that sort of thing. Could you let our listeners know how to find Action Coach and
you? Absolutely. You can find us on the web, actioncoachofaz.com. Also on our Facebook page, Action Coach of Arizona. These are both great resources. And you can find Tom Dougherty or myself, Kelly Griffin, on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Can you believe it's already been an hour?
It goes, flew by.
It does. It goes so quickly. And I really appreciate not only each of you being here today, but just the engaging conversation, the laughter, the stories, and now obviously the camaraderie that we have with each other. And isn't that, I'll say funny, but we all know it's just all meant to be, the commonality. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just happens. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right. And we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.